Okay. I was told you want to hear a little bit about how we do Hafrosh Haschalah commercially, or, you know, in Head of Hashkacha, which I will. I'll talk to you about that. I was told you have questions and answers. Unfortunately, the questions that someone sent me before went to my junk mail, and I just found them now. So you can either ask me questions live, or I can look at that paper and do them live if you'd rather. You tell me which one you'd rather. Tell me what you want to do. And also, please interrupt me and ask me questions along the way so I don't have to just keep on talking. I'm going to talk for a few minutes, and I can do more or less depending on, again, as you want. In a commercial setting, the way I see it, there are four ways that Hafrosh Haschalah is done. there are four ways that it's done. One is in a traditional way, which is somebody's there when they bake, and they take a piece of dough off, and they do a Hafrosh Haschalah like you do in your own house. That's the simplest way to do it. It's the least common as well. That's most likely to happen like in a little bakery which is run by a Shomer Shabbos, and he takes care of it. The next step is something we call the dough ball method, and that is baking happens in a retail bakery. Baking happens in the middle of the night. There's often no Shomer Shabbos there at that time. So what happens is one of the people at the bakery, every time they make a batch of dough, he takes off a little piece and puts it on the side. So if tonight they're going to make eight batches of different kinds of things, in the morning there'll be eight little pieces of dough sitting there that he took off from each one of them, and then comes around in the morning, the Mashiach comes, or the Shomer Shabbos person comes, and he's Mafrish Challah using that dough that was separated. That's the second method. The third method is to use tevel. This is used more in commercial settings. And that is to say is that somebody makes tevel, either a batch of tevel matzah or tevel dough. We could talk about more about that later. Something, he makes dough that needs Hafrosh Haschalah, but he's not Hafrosh Haschalah from it. And then someone remotely says, every day, someone says, whatever dough they're going to make today, whatever they're going to bake, I want a little piece of that dough of the tevel that I have there to work as the Hafrosh should happen from there. So I want the Hafrosh to happen from that piece over there. So if my piece of tevel has enough to make 100 Hafroshes or 1,000 Hafroshes, then I keep some kind of a track of how much I'm doing, and I'm Hafrosh each day a little bit from one of that tevel that I left behind. And the last idea is that there are some people who will say that the only time in Hafrosh Haschalah if the dough is owned by a yid at the time when they mix the flour and water together. And so what they do is they say, we're going to avoid the problem. We're going to do a mechira so that the dough does not belong to a yid at that time. Itself, someone who's not Jewish, and therefore, since someone who's not Jewish owned it at the time of the leisure, therefore there's no chiva Hafrosh Haschalah. So those are the four ways that I'm aware of that Hafrosh Haschalah is done by Hashkafas, etc. If you would like, I'm going to talk about two of those methods. But first, I'm going to pause if you have any questions before I get into more details. Good. Okay. So now, the method that at least I call the dough ball method, which is they separate little pieces of dough. It most commonly happens in a retail bakery where they're just making a couple batches every night and there's nobody there, but come the morning someone can be there. So there's a specific detail about that, which is that the din says in Simen Shin Chof Gimel that when you mafresh challah, you need to have shiran mikarm. You need to have something left over. You can't be mafresh of the entire batch and get it as challah. And therefore, when you're the din comes from the fact that we know the din is that the Gemara says you could be oichel v'hoilich v'achach mafresh. In chutz la'aretz, a person is allowed to eat the bread or the cake without being mafresh challah, and eventually be mafresh challah. Mafresh later on, that's the din. You're allowed to be oichel v'hoilich v'achach mafresh. But so the din is, why does it say v'achach mafresh? Why doesn't it say v'achach and give it to the kohen? V'achach here was you consider it to be challah. And that teaches us that even when you later on, when you do the hafrosh, you have to do a hafrosh, you have to separate, tevel from kulin, in a way that's shiran mikarm. The machlokes is shown of what exactly that means to be shiran mikarm. But the way it seems from the Shulchan Aruch, it just needs to be, there has to be some that's left over. You can't get everything for challah. You have to leave, some things have to be not challah, some things have to be chulin. So if the person ate up all the bread until now, at the end of Shabbos, he has one little piece left, and he'd be mafresh that whole thing as chuma, as challah, chuma, then that would be not shiram nikarma. Okay? So that's what the person needs to do. You have to have shiram nikarma. So because of that din, there's a practice that people have that when they do this dope, these dough balls, then they put all, you know, again, I told you, in the case I gave you, in the morning, there are going to be 8 pieces of dough there. The person who does the hafrasha, the Sharma Shabbos who comes to do the hafrasha, takes part of them and does them, says, I'm being mafresh. From each of the 8 pieces, he takes one part of them and says, this is hafrasha for that piece. Okay? And just, it's a question whether that's really required, whether that's the requirement, or that's just someone doing because they don't really realize what they're doing. And what I mean is like this. The reason why you have the reason why in the case of the Gemara you need to do shiram nikarma, you have to leave something behind, is because when you already ate up all of the food. The case of the common cases, it was Shabbos and you couldn't do hafrasha, so you ate up all the bread. You ate up all the bread, and now it comes after Shabbos. Let me turn that off. I don't know how to turn that off. Okay, sorry. Now comes after Shabbos, and the person needs to do the hafrasha. He has just a little bit left. But in the case of our bakery, think about what happened. On today's Wednesday, so Wednesday night, they sat there and they prepared all kinds, they had 8 different batches of cakes and breads and things like that, and they left 8 pieces behind. Comes the morning, the Sharma Shabbos person comes in, and he has 8 pieces there. So if he would take all those pieces and make them to be challah, would there be shiram nikarma? Of course it's going to be shiram nikarma. Because if you walk out into the bakery, there's piles of bread and cake that are there. So he's not being mafresh everything. There's plenty left behind, but he's not being mafresh. So seemingly, you don't need to have a shiram nikarma. You don't have to do something special. You don't have to say part of the dough is challah, part of it is not challah. In fact, that's what people do. They say part is challah, part is not, because the Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to do that. You have to have leave a piece behind, but I'm not convinced that that's really required. It's hard for me to hear. You could come a little closer to the mic. You could talk up a little bit, please.
Maybe they're just concerned that it gets delayed, and then
they'll
get eaten up before
they're not pushed to power. Right, so it could happen, but let's bear in mind, we're talking about a commercial bakery. They didn't make, you know, 3 muffins out of this thing. They made, you know, 50, 20 pounds of cake, or they made, you know, loaves and loaves of challah. So you think it's all going to be eaten up before the Mashgiach shows up in the morning? So I guess it could happen, but it's really unlikely. I mean, what if they take all these donuts, and they send them off to one shul for eating after davening? Every bit is eaten. It's hard to believe. Maybe that's the reason why. But in fact, that's what people do. I'm not sure you have to. I'll mention from the Hashkacha perspective, there's a little bit of a sort of taking our chances over here, which is we come in the morning and there's 8 pieces of dough there. Now, the assumption, of course, is that the person, the Sharma Shabbos who comes in, the Mashgiach who comes in to check on that, knows what happened during the night. So when he sees 8 pieces over there, he at least knows that they actually made 8 doughs during the night. He says, you know, I know the schedule, what they were supposed to make. And they were supposed to make two batches of regular, and one batch of whole wheat, and one batch with oats, and he sees in front of him all those pieces that are in front of him. We hope that he's at least paying attention that much, that he knows how much they were supposed to make, or how much they did make, and he can compare that to what he finds when he shows up in the morning. Let's hope he's doing that. But it's not foolproof that it's really happening. You know, what happens if they don't remember to do those pieces? Oh my gosh, the rabbi's coming, we need 8 pieces. Could someone just put 8 pieces down? Could be he would. So, great, it's not. you know, there's a hashkacha type question of, is the person, are we really sure that the person's gonna get it right? Okay, but there's another angle of it. So it's hard for me to hear. It's hard for me to hear, but it sounds like the question was, is there not a yotzev nichnas to make sure that they're always doing this correctly? So usually, it's probably not. Usually this, in a bakery, if you think about it, it's an all kosher bakery. In the middle of the night, they're sitting and baking breads and cookies. It's probably not Yetzin Lechus at 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe yes, maybe not.
What kind of mnemonics do they have?
So again, as far as the first of all, that's my point, is that, that's what I'm headed to, is that we're counting on, if we know they made 8 batches of dough overnight, and we know there's 8 pieces in the morning, we're sort of counting on, well, these pieces must come from there. It's not so clear that that's partial, they don't have to do that, because who knows, maybe they just put 8 pieces in the morning. On the other hand, there's a side that says, come on, that every day they do this, and every day there's the same number of pieces, practices are doing what they're supposed to. So, but it's a question. It's not so clear that it's so obvious that you're allowed to rely on them in that kind of a case. I'll mention also that because this is being done in Chutz Arutz, at least we're in Chutz Arutz, there's no chiyuv to do it in a mukav, so that's okay. The fact that parsha happens, you know, this little piece, the shlem in a mukav, is okay. Chal's Chutz Arutz doesn't have to be in a mukav. But there's a little question over here about whether we really should trust them or not. Okay, but it's very common to do this in weekly. It's not just a bakery, the pizza shop also. Pizza shops are not the same, because they don't tend to make their doughs in the middle of the night. You know, they're baking during the daytime when someone could be there. It's more in a bakery where they do it overnight, but it could be in a pizza shop also. Pizza shops also that they they prepare. There's no Shem Shabbos, maybe I'm going to go back to what someone said before about Yotzei Nechmas. It's hard to be Yotzei Nechmas and catch somebody. I guess if you walked in and it was halfway through the night and there were no pieces left, you'd say, come on, we caught you, you forgot to put a piece out. But it's hard to catch a dough and say, oh, you just didn't put the piece out yet, you know? I guess you can catch something, you know? Okay, that's for the dough ball. Anybody have more questions on that before I move on to the other way of doing it? Can a little louder, please. I'm sorry.
That's actual process from the actual dough.
Yes. So they take the person that's what's supposed to have. There's a piece of dough out, and now that when you show up in the morning, there's a bunch of pieces of little pieces of dough there, and that's the hafrasha for the stuff that was made.
What do you do with the bracha in that case?
Why can't you make a bracha? Yeah, the guy just put a piece of dough inside. He's not being mafresh challah. What does he know? He's not doing the hafrasha. He's physically separating a piece out, but he's not doing the hafrasha. The Shem Shabbos is doing that. Person is doing the hafrasha when he does it in the morning. When he does it, that's when he does it. Okay, now the other system, which is used more commercially, is I mentioned that you can make tevel. You create a batch of tevel, and either you leave it as dough or you bake it into, let's say, a matzah or some kind of cracker. And that tevel sits in the bakery. This is used commercially. The bakery is 1,000 miles away from the closest person, Shem Shabbos. So there's nobody there to do hafrasha all the time. There isn't even someone to come in the morning to do hafrasha. So we have to find some way to do hafrasha remotely. Okay, so this system was made to do hafrasha remotely. You create tevel. You leave tevel, I mean, something that's high in challah. You leave it there in the bakery, and then someone from far away, someone sitting in his pajamas, gets up and says, everything that's going to be made today, I want a piece of that tevel to be challah for the dough that they're making that day. So there's a lot of details to that. As you may have heard, I just released a sefer on the Farshas Challah. So along the way, it just came out a day or two ago. So along the way, at many different spots, I speak about the shaylos about this tevel hafrasha system. The very last chapter is a summary of all those different pratim about it, about all the things that have to do with the tevel system, which is it's so to speak modern way of doing things. It's not like anybody's bubby ever did that. So it's a relatively modern way to do things, and there's lots of questions about it. Okay, so I'll break up my thoughts about that into three groups. Okay, and the first has to do with things to do with time. That is like this. And the first thing I'm going to mention is the most serious concern that there is with this tevel system. And the tevel system, as I mentioned, can be with matzah or with dough. Most people use matzah because it's really convenient. Because you get matzah that's made from tevel. Like they go to a bakery, they make special matzah out of tevel, and they put it into the place. Matzah doesn't spoil. Matzah just sits there. It's nice and small and just sits there in the bakery, and they do the hafrasha from it. Well, the problem is, the thing is, you have to be mafresh challah from each year, from the grain that grew during that year. So now Tafshin Pei Aleph, if we want to be mafresh from Do Legu in Tafshin Pei Aleph, we have to use be mafresh from other Do Legu in Tafshin Pei Aleph. So what happens is that actually right at this time of the year, the winter wheat is already in the market. The winter wheat that was planted during Tafshin Pei Aleph is already in the market. And soon, in the next few weeks, spring wheat from Tafshin Pei Aleph will also be coming to the market. So during the summertime, the bakeries are switching over from the dough, from the flour from Tafshin Pei, to the flour from Tafshin Pei Aleph. It's right around now that the changeovers are happening from Tafshin Pei to Tafshin Pei Aleph. The people we go to Yashin are aware of that because of the spring wheat. But the winter wheat happens a few weeks before that. So now there's a changeover going on. And what happens is that the tavel matzah, for all kinds of logistic and practical reasons, the tavel matzah probably won't get made till after Sukkot. So what that means is that there's going to be months when the bakery is using flour from Tafshin Pei Aleph, and the tavel is from Tafshin Pei. So you can't be mafresh from Tafshin Pei on Tafshin Pei Aleph. It just doesn't work. So it's a very serious concern. There are those who have tried to be melamed tzchus as to why it should work. Not terribly convincingly. It's why we at the CRC happen to prefer tevel dough instead of tevel matzah. And the advantage of tevel dough is the tevel dough is made at the bakery. You go to the bakery and you say to them, because of Hafar Shaskal, we need you to make us a dough for do Hafar Shaskal on. The bakery itself, a commercial bakery, will know when they start getting the new flour. It's important because the protein levels change each year, so most commercial bakeries know when they're getting in the flour from the new crop rather from the old crop, and then the mashgiach come and make sure they get make a new batch of tevel then. So it's easier to control that we get from the right year, because let's say he finds out that on July 10th is the first day they're going to be getting the new flour, so he comes in, puts in new, and it takes a few weeks as they slowly transition from the old to the new, and then come, over the time, he puts in the new, gets new tevel dough, and so eventually he's only using new. He has old and new, until he's only using old. But the people who use the matzah, in fact, it makes it very problematic for a few months of the year when they don't have tevel matzah from the right year.
If the matzah
on Yashin, will that help at all? So let's think how they could do that. If they're makban on Yashin, because they only use old flour, they'll keep spring flour from the year beforehand. Yeah, that if they use spring wheat from the year beforehand, that would help them. That's one way for them to be Yashin. I guess that would help them.
How long did they keep the matzah? Is it possible
matzah
from 3 years ago?
Well, no. You probably wouldn't want to do that. You probably wouldn't want to keep it from 3 years ago, but it wouldn't be a problem because the new matzah, let's say the new matzah is going to be made in October. So come October, you'll have it for next year. You have plenty of time to prepare before they start using next year's matzah to get it around. The problem is for the people who are they're already baking with the new flour, that has a problem. But there's another way to make for bakery to be all yashin, and that is they could just use winter wheat. They could use winter wheat and add to it protein to it to make it act as if it's spring wheat. It's a different way for a bakery to be always yashin. They use winter wheat, which is yashin, and they just have to add in protein that's old, so to speak, old yashin protein, and to make the winter wheat act like spring wheat, in which case they have the same problem. They're just using winter wheat, so they haven't solved it, they haven't done anything better. They have the same problem that we talked about. Okay, now, another thing has to do with time is that when the Mashiach makes this announcement every morning, he makes an announcement and says every batter that's made today, I want hafrasha to happen based on using the tevel that's there. And he may make it every day or every couple days. He for sure won't make it on Shabbos, so it could be a couple of days when he doesn't make an announcement. And it's possible that flour will show up at the bakery after he makes that announcement. Okay, at 8 o'clock in the morning, he makes a statement that everything's going to be, if everything's going to be mafreshchalah, at 9 o'clock a truck pulls up and brings in flour, then he did something on Dovr Shel Bo'el Olam. He went ahead and said, I want this to be chal on that thing which didn't exist yet. Okay, he was making hafreshchalah for something that didn't even exist yet. It's questionable whether that, if and how that could work, whether hafreshchalah could work. He could solve that problem, which is often what people do, is they say is, I want how fresh it happened every time a batter is made. And if I missed any, I want it, in the past, I wanted to do a fresh stroke for that also. So this way on Monday morning, today's Wednesday, on Wednesday morning he said, I want it to be for every batter. Flour showed up later, and it didn't work, what his fresh that he made. But on Thursday morning he says, I want it for all everything made today and anything that I might have missed in the past. So what was made on Wednesday is now being covered also. So that's a way to get around that part. Okay.
Why can't they stop
it? They can. So you can. It would help. There are other things but that helps for as well to do it on the past. But he'd still have to do it every, I don't want to say every day, but give or take every day, because if he doesn't do it all the time, stuff could get all eaten up before he did it. So he wants to catch it before it disappears, you know. So if he waits 3-4 days, it's not going anyplace from a commercial bakery. There's still plenty of time. But yes, so if he always would say he wants to do it in the past, it has other advantages also. In fact, that's not what people do, but it does have advantages to it, to say, yes, I want to work for the past. Okay. Again? But the Klotzars, can you do it after you ate it? After you ate something, as long as there's something left over, you can do that. So it has to be something left over. So, again, we're talking, this is a commercial bakery. Can you say that again?
You said by the first method with the gold balls, so the issue of shulamic was an issue of shulamic part, and it seemed to me that everything was eaten up, because the type of part of it.
Right.
And that would help. But over here, it's worse because it's not the same dough. Is that enough?
Is it more of a chiv of shirer mikarim, you're saying?
Yeah, in other words, you said that maybe it'll be eaten up. So somebody here was asking, what's the problem if it's eaten up? Okay?
Because of shirer mikarim. If it's all gone, then you can't be matzah.
You're not giving the whole hevel matzah.
Okay, so the answer is because shirer nikarim means there has to be truma and chulin. Okay, so over here, oh, you think here I have the tevel behind? No, because the hafrasha, I mean, that should have been clear. When I say I'm making hafrasha from this tevel, the part that's left behind is not becoming chulin. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute. The matzah that I have, I'm not leaving any chulin behind. I'm saying this, some of it is tevel and some of it is truma, and none of it is chulin. Only the stuff that they bake is chulin. So there has to be shirer nikarim. I mean, there has to be something has to become chulin that I left behind. Okay, so that's the part that the bakery made.
Yeah, the problem is asking, so you can fix that. Just don't make something chulin. And that would be an answer.
Okay, I guess that can happen. I'm not so worried about that. I'm not worried about shirer nikarim. Think about it. It's a commercial bakery. They make thousands of pounds of food. Okay, so I show up a day or two later, it's not eaten up yet. I'm not worried that it's eaten up. It's out there. It's going to spend days and days before people eat it up, you know? So, okay.
So Rabbi Cohen, his question is that even if it was all eaten up, why can't you do this once a week?
Do what?
Every other week.
Let do the hafrasha for the past, you're saying?
Correct. Is it a problem? Is it because the whole isa was eaten up, and you haven't added any of the tevel dough to the isa. You're just going to be...
That's a good question. I have to think about that. I'm not sure. Can I say, I want the chulin to be in this dough when that dough got completely eaten up? Okay, that's a fair question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. Okay. Okay. Doing the hafrasha with matzah has a different issue with it, and that is... that the people who bake this tevel matzah, there's a special, someone's making this special, they're making tevel matzah special, they make that out of wheat. So that helps you if your bakery bakes things with wheat. If your bakery makes things with other grains, then you're not going to help you, because no one's making spelt tevel matzahs. You know, not that I'm aware of, there's no such thing that could do that. The tevel dough, again, gives you that flexibility. You do what you want to. If this bakery works with oats, we'll make something with oats. And then spelt, or flakes, whatever grain they use, if they use one of the other grains besides the wheat, you have a flexibility to use that other grain, when you make your tevel dough. Okay, now, another Oh. Okay. The another issue that there is that again, it's a commercial bakery.
Rabbi Cohen.
Yes.
Rabbi Cyrus popped up a question here. I don't know if you see it.
What was the question?
He asked, the Gra says from the Teshbach, even in Chutzlar, it's mitigated to mafresh before eating.
Okay.
There would be a reason not to be mafresh only once a week.
Okay. That's fair. If there's such a sheet, if there's such a thing that you should, I don't remember about that. I have to look that back up. I remember passing that. I don't remember, it doesn't strike me to remember what if that is or is not correct. But if there's such a sheet that you want that Lechatin should do before, okay, then fine. Then that's a reason to do it in advance. You know? Okay. If you did it every day for yesterday, you would still be before people eat it. And again, in a commercial bakery, things don't get eaten in 5 minutes. So if you did it every day, someone's idea, let's do it every 2 weeks, we'd run into this problem, you know? If you do it every day, you'd be good, you know? Okay, so the another issue that we have by doing things remotely is we have tevel. The tevel is either in matzah or dough form. The you know, this issue I'm about to tell you is worse for the dough than it is for the matzah. And that is that you're not going to have it be minamukov. Because dough for sure can't be minamukov. Because dough is going to spoil unless you stick it in a freezer. So it's got to be in a freezer. So put the dough in a freezer, it's not going to be mukov to what the bakery is making. Even if you're using matzah, which matzah doesn't need to be, you know, frozen, even so, you're not, it would be hard to make, it's close to impossible to make minamukov, especially if the girl learns what minamukov means. Once it's in a kli, it might have to be touching. It's like almost impossible for it to be able to make minamukov. Again, think about it, it's a commercial operation. This is not, you know, three yidden in the house who want to do it the right thing. It's almost impossible to make minamukov. And essentially, if you use this kind of a system, the hafarsha is going to happen in shlem minamukov. Now, the chal schutz arts, you're allowed to be mafish shlem minamukov. You are allowed to be mafish shlem minamukov. But that's only if you're mafish minayu bay. If you're mafish from a different batter, then it doesn't work. You're not allowed to do, it has the same thing as in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to be mafish shlem minamukov. So, l'maisa, the person who's doing the hafarsha is doing the hafarsha shlem minamukov. And so this is a judgment that we're better off doing hafarsha shlem minamukov than people eating tevel that didn't have a hafarsha at all. Okay, so it's a side issue of chatei b'shushis v'chaveri. You're asking me, I'm the person working for the CRC, you say, David, I want you every day to do this hafarsha shlev in a mukov, so that, you know, Yankel on the outside can eat bread that's not tevel. That's his own little question, but in practice, it's going to be shlev in a mukov. In pashas, it's going to be shlev in a mukov. Again? If you go into the bakery, then you're going to stick your hand into the bowl and take out a piece of dough. Of course, it's going to be minamukov. You're good. But the problem is, you want to use this tevel. So you tevel means I'm 1,000 miles away. So you factory have to keep the tevel someplace to make it minamukov, to make it work. It's not going to be mukov. It's not going to be. It's going to be in a freezer someplace, or in a closet, or in a box. Who knows where it's going to be? You know, it's not going to be minamukov.
Once you've been signed up on Shalom and Amukha, if you decide to make that call, why do you have to have the box of matzahs in the bakery? Have it in your house in Chicago.
Okay, that's true. That's true. So the thinking, it's a very valid point. You could just sit them, they all sit in the CRC office, and they could do it from there. That's true.
And then make it into your chulin.
It's what?
You take the matzah, you split it to half, or three quarters, and make one part of it.
You made an assumption that we can make shirem karm by in this matz itself, which is not part of that dough, that could work. I wasn't sure if that works or not. But so I have a feeling that the thinking is, although the Gra says, and there's a very long Gra who says, as you, I'm sure you've learned, he says that nobody got this din straight. I'm going to set you straight about what the din is at, what minamukov means. It's not. It's not clear that everybody agrees to that thing. Again, I'm not saying that this other thing is strong, a different shot, but it's not, it may be that we're doing this to try to make it minamukov according to somebody else, can I say, you know what I mean? That Gra that says that, which is very, you know, Oystahalder, and he has rise to it, it's very strong what he says, the putting it into the bakery is sort of, maybe it's minamukov, I'm not sure, you know, maybe that's what they're trying to do. But it's a valid point. If we're not going to be minamukov, do it my half, you know, it makes it easier, you know, okay. Okay. The last thing about doing it remotely is that because if I do the hafrasha remotely, then the mashgiach who's doing it is not in contact with the owner of this dough. The mashgiach is far away. I'm at home, and he's 100 miles away from me. In fact, it's a factory. They might not even be the owner of the factory altogether. The owner might be in Puerto Rico. Okay, and the factory's over here. So so now we run into questions of shlichus. I'm doing the hafrasha for him. I have to be his shlich and then do his hafrasha. And the shlichus has its own complications. Can I be a shlich? If he appoints me to be a shlich, well, that doesn't work for things that are going to come in the future. You know, he appoints me today. Excuse me, what happens to stuff that shows up in 6 months or 5 years from now? It was like, well, Olam. Kenzan, I could do it with Zachum Adam. Maybe I could do Zachum Adam. But for this, we have a way to solve this problem, the problem of the Zachim. And that is that we tell the Mashiach he should take ownership of the Tevel. Either he buys the Tevel Matzah, you know, this year he buys him the Tevel Matzah, or if they make Tevel dough, he says to the bakery, I want you to make this dough for me, and I want it to be mine. I want to take ownership of it, in which case, then it's for sure Zachum Adam that he can do it, because there's no problems that he's Zachim Me Adam. Because he owns the what's having the hafrasha is his own, so he would be doing it by he would do zochin to be a shliach and avoid the shaila that maybe zochin not be allowed to do by his owning the dough of the temple of the matzah jurors. Okay.
Does it work better because it's you're a poil because he's paying you shtocha fee and you're taking
the money? So that's a question. It's a question. There are those who say that being a poil lets you take the role of a automatically as an owner, yes, there's such a shita, yes. But it's easier to avoid that just by owning it, which is the natural thing anyhow. The natural thing is that he's going to own it anyhow. Just by the dough, when he says to the factory, I want you to make this dough for me so I can do a fresh challah, they're not taking it back, you know? So him taking possession of it is a very simple thing for him to do anyhow. Okay. So if it's a person who we say is that if I'm continuing to make you a shliach for this thing, then I can. So maybe we could work that out that he could do it like that. Okay. Now within the actual hafrasha itself, the actual hafrasha when you're doing it from far away, there's some pratim. Like for example, I'll have to say if there's a blue laraka, then I want the hafrasha to happen after it's baked. Okay, because when you do it yourself, you just do it correctly. So he has to say, if it's a blue laraka, I want it to happen once it's baked afterwards. And in some people will say is, I want the hafrasha to happen half an hour after the dough is made. They say that because in case the baal bas or someone's there wants to actually do the hafrasha himself and have the mitzvah, he should be able to do the mitzvah. So if I want it to be chal later, and there's a lot to say. The wording, once you work out all these details, and you have to be mitzayin the makom, so you have to say where it is, and where in the dough it is, and there's all kinds of things to say. So it ends up being a whole thing that he has to say, a whole long thing that he has to say. And you run into this child with candy, can the person get up and just say, I want to do that first like it says on my paper. Okay, can I just get away with that, rather than speaking out the whole thing? Or if I'm the person who takes care of bakeries, and the CRC is Hashgacha on 20 bakeries, I have to list of all their names also. So can I just say, whatever it says on my paper, you know, whatever it is, and go back to sleep? Or do I have to actually read out the whole thing? Okay, that's a shayla not random. There's also a question, when I do the hafrasha, can I make a bracha? Okay, so here, if I say for the past, I can for sure make a bracha. If I say for the future, it's a question whether you're allowed to make a bracha. The Magen Avraham implies that if I'm saying something, I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm doing the ma'aseh now, which will be chal in the future, you can't make a bracha on that. You can't make the bracha. You can only make the bracha if you make it for the past, which we talked about before. If you say it for the past, that's good. If you say it for the future, then there's rise that you can't make the bracha at that time, which is okay. A lot of the people who do this don't like making the bracha anyhow. They're like, listen, I don't know, this is all fuzzy, this whole thing that's going on. I'm not sure I want to make a bracha. But once you get past that part of it, there's a different angle, which is, you can't make a bracha for the future. Okay. Okay, then last is, in the very first siman, the Rama speaks about that you should have you should do hafrasha of a kezias, I mean, you should burn the chal when you finish with it, and neither of those are going to happen over here. Okay, the hafarsh is for sure not going to be a kazayas. No way the hafarsh is going to be a kazayas, because if you have to make a kazayas, you have to bring a truckload full of pebble. You know what I mean? That wouldn't work. So they do tiny, tiny little pieces that they do for hafarsh. And in most cases, they don't end up burning it either. Hopefully, they don't eat it, but burning it is not so mistaken that that's what's going to happen. Okay, so I'm finished with this part that I have to say about the tablet system. As I mentioned, there's all kinds of potential issues with it. It's not the greatest, but it's in practice, it's what people are doing. Again, if you want to give hashgacha on a bakery and not have a mashgiach have to show up every day, or it's not even physically possible to show up every day, then that's what they do. They use some kind of tablet. Or some people say, I don't like this tablet system, and they do the other idea, which is sell to a guy, which has its own complications, as you can imagine. Sell to a guy has its own issues. That's what's done. Okay.
What
go ahead. You gotta move up. Yeah, move. Good. Before, and I started coming close to the computer, but I realized that I don't get any better if I sit close to the computer, you know? So. So I have to tell you that really it's very not clear what the makor is in for this minute to do a kazayas altogether. It's not so clear at all. You'll wait till you've seen the sefer. Maybe the deep why it should be like that. There I'm opening such a minute, and why else is there a minute? You take a little piece off, and the piece is always a kazayas. Of course, it's maybe you don't eat that much matzah on Pesach, but that's a kazayas. So you're not doing it. You're not doing it for follow, you know what I mean? I mean, the thing is really, you give kesaira, you don't have to give minute, then you don't give anything. But we give, the amount they give off is more than a saira. But a kazayas, yes, because minamukav is a din, and kazayas is a, okay. But wait a second. But minamukav is only lechatchila. Minamukav is lechatchila. But mishana chaverta doesn't work at all. Totally doesn't work. So that's the most serious issue. And you know, so yeah.
How do you calculate
saira
per minamukav?
So what they'll do is they'll say I'm being marfish. They're going to pick an amount. They'll say a gram. Or a half a gram, or an amount. So they weigh the thing. A box of matzahs weighs 454 grams. If they make dough, then they weigh the dough, and they say, okay, this dough has enough for this many 500 leashes. And each time they say, I'm doing 1 gram. Let's say they pick the number 1 gram, and this has 500 grams in it, so it's enough for 500 leashes. So they have an idea in the commercial because they don't know exactly, but give or take, let's say every day they make 20 leashes. So I know 20 leashes. I have this. You figure, calculate how many days I have now with 500 grams.
Somebody's asking, why is it not a problem the fact that the dough in the freezer is totally frozen? Like, does that take away from its dough status?
So it's a fair question. It actually, there are rise that maybe, I don't think there's a particular problem with it being frozen. I don't think particularly that makes a difference for the hafrasha, because it's still pebble. There are those who say that you can't be mafresh from raw, unbaked. Okay, that's a different problem. Here, we're doing it, well, depending on when you do the hafrasha. If I do from tevel dough on dough, then that's raw on raw. If I do dough on baked, like I do for yesterday's stuff, there are those who don't know hold to that. Or the other way around, if I use tevel matzah and I do that on the dough, that's baked on raw. And Shmir Shabbos says that that's okay even to do that. To bake, you know, baked and raw doesn't make a difference if they're interchanged. But from frozen, I'm not familiar that there's a problem that's after frozen. It's devil, you know. So.
As far as 1 year from the Kodesh, from the Lashon on the Kodesh, whatever, how do you calculate the year? The year is the same year as from the Oimar?
No, from Rosh Hashanah. The year goes by the calendar year, by Rosh Hashanah. It's Katsira, but in practice, it makes a difference if it's Katsira or it happens to be by Katsira, but it makes a difference because in America, at least, we plant winter wheat after Rosh Hashanah and spring wheat like Purim time, and they both get harvested. The winter wheat gets harvested like June time, like maybe Shavuos, and spring wheat like Tisha B'Av, you know, so they all happen in the same year. That's I'm saying in the United States, at least. That's, you know.
So, what does the CRC make do with
in the commercial bakeries, we use tevel dough. We will have them prepare a dough. Either we ask the bakery itself to prepare it, or we ask one of our local like retail bakeries to prepare it for us, whichever way. And we bring it there and we put it out there. We put it into the freezer there using the meaning that they have. Usually it's wheat, but if they have other, again, they can have spelt and rye and, you know, the other meaning, then we'll make it with that also. And then we do that for our sugar remotely like that. That's what we do.
And I found another point that that the scroll cake we deal with is that when you want to set aside a tevel, you have to make sure that the frusha that was said shouldn't go on the tevel, otherwise it will automatically be patur. So a day before or whatever before it's made into a dough, so sometimes that can be a couple of hours before you go to the bakery to get your tevel, you have to release that tevel and say, look, my amira should not be foul in this dough, and that will allow you to get tevel.
Yes, that's true. And I'll mention two other points that have to do with that. And one is that if you use tevel matzah, then think about what happened. Somebody baked, let's say, 500 pounds of tevel matzah, and he distributed it. He didn't make it all for the CRC. He distributed it to 20 hashkachas. They all have tevel matzah. Okay? If one guy out there messes up, and he is mafish on the dough, on the batter itself, he just ruined it for everybody. Okay, there's one guy in Yerubitzville, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's mafish it. Or he does like what you said, you know, I want to make sure any karma, so I'll say, this is tevel, and the rest is going to be chulin. Well, guess what? The whole rest of the United States just got messed up. The whole rest of them are all eating tevel now, because this guy, some guy, you know, in his basement doesn't know what he's doing, and he needed for shalosh shudders, he needed lechemishim for shalosh shudders, so he decided to be mafresh. Now we're all messed up. Okay, so that's a problem. You do tevel dough, you just got to deal with yourself. You got to make sure your mashgiach knows what he's doing, but you don't have to worry about every mishukana who makes a mistake. That's one thing. The second thing,
you got to make that challah before it gets to you?
If somebody makes it challah, if someone says, I'm doing hafrasha for this batter, he just made all that, it was 500 pounds worth that they made, if however much they made, he was just mafresh for the whole thing, you know?
Okay, you talking about the person at Stripes?
No, I'm not talking about a person at the bakery. I'm talking about someone 3 months later. He's sitting in, I don't know where, he's up in the mountains in Denver, and he's up there, and he says, I have tevel dough, and I want to eat it today, and I'm not for challah, or I'm in a bakery. Yeah, you guys remember the nutshell? He says, yeah, this should be challah, you know, so.
If I want to be mazaka, if Zofim Me'adam, mm-hmm. And I take challah, off, and I want to, and I have in mind the pater, all the tevel doughs that the CRC has, I can mess you up?
No. You wouldn't be messing. Oh, I'm not talking about if you could take my tevel and ruin it. But when we have tevel matzah, it's all made together. So when I do hafresh, I have the right to be mafresh for this tevel. Once I'm mafresh for this tevel, it's a hafresh. Done. It's not tevel anymore. Now it's chulin. It's not like you're being mafresh for the stuff in my house. Maybe you can't get the stuff in my house. I won't let you. But the stuff that's in here, you have no choice. You know what I mean? It's all together. Okay. No, I'm not saying because of the Mekor Chaim. I'm not confident. The Mekor Chaim himself says, again, I don't hold like this. No, I'm saying, let's say the guy says that, okay? Well, he doesn't know what he's doing. He says, I'm being Marv Shlala. Okay. It's automatic. You have to.
I want to eat this matzo shalshers, so if you go on this matzo, well, that's not going to ruin anything.
Right, but he's not such a London. The guy just said, I want to eat this, I'll be Marver Shkala, okay? So you just have to be Marver Shkala, so Marver Shkala works. If you don't say something special, it works for everything. Okay, so now the second thing is,
why does it work for everybody's stuff? Let's say we have a dough together. I make a dough together with you, and we split it up. And you get yours, I get mine. If I take Shkala on mine,
that's chulin. So it's chulin. I separated the Shkala, now it's chulin. No, I don't think so. Okay. The second point I wanted to make is that if you're the person who bakes tevel matzah, if you do that, then you should realize that the kalim that you just made, the kalim that you baked on, are treif. You just baked tevel in your oven, so your oven is now treif. So you have a problem now because you can't bake other things in that oven. So what you have to do is you have to do a hafrasha on the bleas that are in there. You can do a hafrasha for them. That's its own question, but you can do a hafrasha for them. When you do that hafrasha, what?
That's always how matzah is done.
I know that. But in this case, you have to make the hafrasha without letting the tichal on everything else. You make the hafrasha just on the plate, not on the table matzah that went out to the hashlachas. Because, if you do it on those other matzahs, you ruined it for them. So you got this very specialized little hafrasha over here, which you think, there's blias in here that I have to do hafrasha for. Fine, you always do. When you do a hafrasha, it counts for the blias also because that's part of the batch. But here I'm saying, I want a hafrasha pattern for that part that's in there, but not for the part that went that way. So that's its own little sensitivity. That's not for every guy. That's the person does the thinking. Okay? For example, let's say you're going to say to me, David, I have an idea. It takes me till October till I get the new table matzah. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to make my own little crackers at some place. You're going to make it in my house. I'm going to make crackers to distribute to all the people we give hashgacha to so we can have tevel mat, so to speak, tevel crackers for the next few months from the new dough. You could do that. But you have to make sure you do a hafrasha on the blades that you had, because else tomorrow when you make a piece of fish for yourself to eat, you're going to be eating it out as a tevel. Now that's just something to keep in mind.
These companies that make the tevel mat, the special one just
for tevel? Yes. Yes, well, in fact, not only is it a special one for Tevel, but actually, you need to have a Yid own it. Okay, so right now, I don't believe that there's a bakery in the United States that's owned by Jewish people. So it needs a Yid to own it. So not only is it a special one because they're doing Tevel, it's like a whole to-do to make the Tevel, but you have to have a Yid own the flour, or else we really wasted our time. If a Yid doesn't own the flour, right, what are we doing? It's not Tevel. So we have to actually make it special arrangements that a Yid should own that flour when they do it, you know? You know, on some matzahs, on some boxes of matzahs, it says, the laws of chal are followed. Okay? Now, the laws of chal are followed sometimes means is, we're owned by non-Jews, so we don't have to be mafresh chal, which is one of the laws of chal. It's at the end of the simanim, it says, if a guy owns, you don't have to be mafresh chal. That's what they mean. They don't say chal avet genomen, because they say the chal avet genomen, that wouldn't be true, because sometimes the chal is not genomen. But it just says, the laws of chal are followed. One of those laws is that if a guy owns a thing, I say, well,
Can I pull back a second? I just want to ask.
Come a little closer.
I want to just pull back a quick question. I want to make a bracha on this circumstance. So I have to be, my mitzvah of my kasha has to be also on the deep before. That's what we're timing before. Why is that not a suffering bracha, because you don't know, maybe we got the shipment on time, and my hafrasha yesterday was
You're 100%. If every day I say I want hafrasha to be for the future and for the past, then I didn't save myself. I may not be able to make the bracha. If I want to avoid that problem, I would only make hafrashas in the past. I will never make hafrashas for the future. Every day I'll say, this hafrashas is for whatever they made yesterday. So if yesterday was Sunday, there was no baking, then I wouldn't want to do that. But I make sure, I always say it when I know something happened in the past, which is most days. Unless it was yesterday, it was July 4th, I'm saying, I know that I'm covered. But I'm saying for the past, then I know I'm only saying the past. I should have made that clear. Again? So it's a shaila, if you could do hafrasha. This is a shaila you know from Pidyon HaBen, a shaila, but whether you could do something that would be chal on Shabbos. Okay, I didn't mention that issue. That's an issue which is, if on Friday the person says, for every batch that they make, I want hafrasha to be chal, that means on Shabbos morning they're going to make bread and he's doing hafrasha shaila. Okay, that's quite a shaila, whether you're allowed to do that. You're making a chalos happen, a kinyan's going to happen on Shabbos. That's a question. So I didn't mention that. It's in my notes. I didn't mention that. That's a different shaila. The timing of it, because it's going to happen on Shabbos. What the nusach they say is, from now until the next time I say this, I want there to be hafrasha for each batch. So that's a problem. That's another reason to say in the past. Another reason to not say future, but say past. Yeah.
It's not always so applicable if the business is owned by a Yid, it would be a reason to make a Mechira Shabbos as well.
Okay. No. Wait. You're thinking retail bakery. This is a commercial bakery. Okay. This is a commercial bakery. So if the owner of the bakery is Shomer Shabbos and he cares about not having the bakery open on Shabbos, he'll do something to make a Mechira for Shabbos. Whether he chooses to do that is his own personal religious preference, what he does about that. That doesn't affect the kashrus of the bread. We wouldn't be involved in that. In most cases, the person who happens to be Jewish could not care less about whether he's mechal Shabbos. that unfortunately, but that doesn't affect our food, so we don't pay attention to it. It's not relevant to me whether the bakery that's in Nebraska is whether that person is being Shomer Shabbos. If he wants to be and he talks to us, we can help him. We really send him to our business. It doesn't help him that he shouldn't be owning on Shabbos. But most of the cases, that's not our issue. If he's a Yid, we have to offer Shas Chala, but whether he's Shomer Shabbos in his personal life, is we care, but not, we don't insist on that. We don't take that as part of our job duty. Okay, any other questions? I have like another 5 minutes. So if you want, I can look at the list. How about if you look at the list and fill out one or two that seem most relevant?
Bakeries that make separate, you know, pans or separate pieces of cooking your own costumes, blue rock, cakes and pans. Are you not for style in that case?
If they make a blue rocka?
In separate pans.
So most individuals, like if you ask most people, do you have to mafresh challah from bli raka? They tell you, no, of course they have mafresh from bli raka. Because they never, in their house, they never saw their mother mafresh from bli raka. Because it's very hard to get a sheer challah from bli raka. Okay? In a home setting, most housewives never make enough bli raka to be mafresh challah. It's not so realistic. If commercially, or even like in the yeshiva kitchen, you may have that. But the reason why they would have it, even if it's made in pans, is because there's going to be a tzir of sal afterwards. Well, there's a chashash of a tzir of sal afterwards. Meaning, let's say they make pancakes. So every you know, how many guys a zillion pancakes before you have a shear. But they've opened the possibility of a tzir of sal afterwards because after they make pancakes, the pancakes get stacked up someplace and they have potential for a tzir of sal. And the same thing for a sheet cake also. You know, the sheet cake, each sheet by itself may or may not have a shear challah, depending on how big they make it. But there's a good potential for tzir sal, and if there's a possibility of a tzir sal, then you make a parsha.
Bakery racks and sal?
What about the bakery racks?
That
counts as a sal. If it has walls, usually they don't have walls. If it has walls, that'll count as a sal. If they're on a sheet pan, then that might ruin. That's a shalom upbringing, whether that ruins the sal. Because maybe if each one is in its own individual pan, does that take it out of the bigger sal that, so to speak, that there is? The rats, I don't think, usually have walls to them to make the sal.
Literally.
Who
the CRC action for cookies, recently they came out with edible cookies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the question? So if it's made by a Yid, you're talking about if that company's owned by a Jewish person, then why should we not be Mavrish Challah? What's your thinking that we should not be Mavrish?
I thought it was
that what?
The poly that you don't bake, you just mix together grain and honey and oil.
Because you're not going to bake it. Okay, so you're saying, so since I'm not going to bake it, I'm going to eat it. The plan is to eat it as is. Maybe it's not going to be. You might be right. Okay, think about that. So for sure, if some of it's going to be baked, then for sure you're going to be. So the question is, what happens if it's for sure not going to be? Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe you don't have to be much common. Maybe that's a...
Maybe also it's
Amanas B'chalik Batzik L'Acherim. No, it's not Amanas. It doesn't count for Amanas B'chalik because one of those people might buy a lot of it together. It's only considered Amanas B'chalik if you're sure that the people are not going to make a tzir later on. So like if I have a camp and every kid takes on one cupcake, there's no way there's going to be a tzir because each kid takes on own cupcake. But if I sell commercially and I sell packages of cookies, so how do I know? The person's not going to make a big display of cookies and do it here, Levim Chag later on, you know. That's a...
But then the Chiyah is on the way, not on the Mezer. No,
it's not true. If I make a Shir Chala, I can only say it's Amanas Chalak if I know it will not come, there's no way it'll come together as a Tzirf later on. If it's possible to become as a Tzirf later on, then I'm going to... The Chiyah is Mishas Lisha. If I know it'll never come back together, then I'll say it's amnasah chalak, and it's going to be mutter. But otherwise, it's my chiyav. I made the dough. I'm going to make it. If there's a possibility, and in the dough, in this case, of course, there's a possibility. The people might, somebody might buy two boxes and put them together. You know?
So the law says that holy flour that is close to the share can separate the more sin, the chaff, and other stuff before, after. You know, currently in the flour, the way they do the holy flour, do they have to separate it before and then afterwards?
Okay, so if we run out of time, it's its own special share, a whole share to explain to you why I don't think it makes a difference. I know the Shulchan Aruch says that, I'm well within the Machaber says like that. I think that it doesn't make a difference. I think, so you let, what? The regular share. The share is a little bit different because I think holy flour is a little lighter. Fractionally, it's a drop different. But as far as the fact that they took out the bran out of it, I don't think it makes a difference. So either I'll have to come back to you, talk to you if the Tisha B'Av about it, or you'll have to read about it in your favorite Sefer Hafrosh Chala.
I have one more question on the
kids.
It seems that from the Parsha implied that the volume of grain increases when it's after it's ground. And we wanted to know how, if that is so, how that's so. And we had a bad hypothesis that it's because you increase the surface area when you break up. You increase the surface area exponentially when you break it up. That was one thought we had. We just wanted to know how it's shy if that it could be a bigger volume when you round it up and then it's smaller granules.
Okay, I don't remember seeing such a thing. I believe you that it says it gets bigger when you grind it up. I believe you. But, I mean, it has to do with how fluffy the thing becomes. You know, when you grind it up, presumably there's a certain amount of air gets stuck in there and it gets fluffier. Logic would tell you that you get more compressed because the pieces are easier to get next to each other. But I guess there's air in between them and it fluffs it up a certain amount. I don't know. I'm not sure. Not really sure.
I've seen in some places they say that you just shouldn't trust when you're measuring a ship power, you shouldn't trust pumps, volume, you should rather only use weight.
That's the opposite. Pump fucker. The share is volume. Of course the share is volume. The weight is it's convenient for people to do it in weight, so we convert it to weight. But of course the share is in volume. Of course. Okay. Of course, the shears in volume. It's convenient. The Rambam tells you it's 520 grams. And okay, so that's convenient for you. You want to know if you have a dram scale, you want to know how much it is. So you know your shear power. But that's convenient for people. But no, of course not. The shears, of course, in volume. Of course. What? What about it? If you grind it together and it gets into it, makes itself into a dough, I would think that's fine. Okay. Okay. Okay, guys. The Seder, it was good speaking to everybody here. Hatzlacha.